way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Girl, that's the only way to go. Let's go. Shooting. Lights out.
Ladies and gentlemen, ladies and gentlemen, how y'all doing today on this December 20th, 2022? I am the Playmaker down there, Silence here, ready to get you started with this Christmas edition of Hoops Talk. But before we get started on Hoops Talk, I have some things I want to do. As you can see, for those of you who are listening or watching on YouTube, Hoops Talk is brought to you by Liz. Yes, Liz.com gets all your favorite hats, sportswear, if you want. From Liz.com, Liz by Locker Room. Today and this week is up to 70% off on Liz website. Get it free US shipping with the 70% off. Just use the promo code Liz39. That is Liz, L-I-D-S, number 3 and 9. And you get up to 70% off and free shipping over orders that are $39. Also being sponsored by Fanatics, you know, with sports fans shop. Fanatics, the official license everything. And they have a sale going on this Christmas week. You can also get up to 70% off on orders today and get it before Christmas on orders over $79 plus. That is 79 ship. The promo code you need, that is 79SHIP for the promo code to get up to 70% off on orders. That is $79 and above. That is Fanatics or a sports fan shop. And by Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, where you can stream live sports, breaking news, and amounts of entertainment. Nickelodeon, CBS, whatever you love, whatever you like. Paramount Plus has it for you. You can start now for free. Get a free trial. After the trial, it is $5 a month. And they have a 50% off on a first-year subscription. So get to it. Winter 50. That is WINTR50 with Paramount Plus. And now that we got that out there, let's get to it, ladies and gentlemen, because we know we have to do. We got to go. Around the hardwood. And as we go around the hardwood, ladies and gentlemen, our first topic up for debate comes to us from the NBA. One of the main topics going on in the NBA right now is that there are more allegations coming out against the organization of the Phoenix Suns outside of Robert Sarver. As you can see here, those who are watching on YouTube, the article title says, for those of you who are listening on audio, when are others going to be held accountable? Allegations of Suns misconduct extend beyond Robert Sarver. They are more, you know, misconduct allegations going on within the Phoenix Suns organization. And it's pretty damning to say the least, despite the team being able to play through all the distractions that they are going through right now. It makes you think about what's going on here. And thanks to Braxton Holmes, ESPN senior writer for this article. On the afternoon of September 21st, Phoenix Suns employees logged onto an all-hands Zoom session led by team president and CEO Jason Worley. Hours earlier, Robert Sarver had announced that he was selling the Suns and the Phoenix Mercury amid continuing and widespread anger over his conduct as majority owner. While employees eager anticipated that Worley might say about the sale and how it could impact their future, Another thought was burning on the minds of many on this call. It was a question that had been percolating for days throughout the organization. Like all of them, it was submitted anonymously through the team's new human resource department. After a 10-minute opening statement, Worley began reading questions from his staff. So there's a lot of things going on in here. There's a lot more to read, but I'm not going to get into it here because we do have a long show. We have a lot to get into in this show today. But this is just the beginning for the Phoenix Suns and what they have going on within their organization, per se. Moving on to our next article, we go to the college ranks. Iowa State cancels two hoops games due to severe storm forecast. This came from the Associated Press as we make our trip to the college basketball realm. The Iowa State basketball program for both men and the women's side canceled their games, representing against Omaha for the men and Drake for the ladies because of a severe storm. Article says here, Iowa State cancels a men's basketball game Wednesday and a women's basketball game Thursday because of the potential for severe weather. The athletic department announced Tuesday that the men's game against Omaha and the women's game against Drake would not be rescheduled. And it says here from the athletic director, who is Jamie Pollard, says, quote, after consulting with both Omaha and Drake, we believe that canceling both games today will afford the student athletes from all four teams the opportunity to depart ahead of the storm and return safely to their homes to spend the holidays with their families. Close quote. Ames is in the path of a winter storm that's expected to drop 6 to 10 inches of snow Wednesday through Friday. Fans who have purchased season single game tickets for either game will be issued a refund. The ISU men and women play December 31st. The men will be home for their Big 12 opener against Baylor, and the 14-ranked women will be visiting Texas Tech. So I do applaud the athletic directors for Iowa State and the athletic directors for Omaha and Drake, and checking the weather and making sure they come to a decision that allow these student athletes to, you know, take the winter break off, go home, spend Christmas with the family, and get back in town safely before the new year rolls around and get ready for the December 31st game on New Year's Day, when the men will play Baylor at home and the women would take on Texas Tech on the road in Lubbock, Texas. So I applaud all athletic directors involved from all three schools, with the Iowa State leading the way. Good job. I hope, and my prayers go out to everybody in Ames, Iowa, that when this storm hits, and everybody in that region, in the Midwest region, that when the storm hits, that y'all be safe and sound, that y'all be able to spend Christmas with each other, and then we can get back into playing ball out there. So good job to everybody. Next up on the docket, sticking with the college basketball, going to the ladies, St. John's cracked women's AP top 25 for the first time since 2015. A little later on, I'll be getting to the rankings of both the men and the women, but when something like this happens, I have to, you know, look into it and read it. St. John's earned its first ranking in 7 years after matching the best start in school's history, entering the Associated Press Women's Top 25 poll at 25 on Monday. The Redstone of 11-0 with their win Sunday over Providence equaled the 2004 and 2005 team that also won its first 11 games. St. John's had a victory over then number 13 Creighton on December 4th, helping Coach Joe Talamilla squad earn his first appearance in a poll since December 14th, 2015. I have to admit, congratulations to the St. John's ladies basketball team. You're talking literally 7 years in a week since they were ranked in the top 25. They are off to 11-0 start. They are undefeated. It is a great day for them. It is a nice day for them. They should be celebrated, but don't celebrate too much because you got a long season ahead of you. But 11-0. It's a very good start. So good job to the Lady Red Storms over in St. John's. Keep it up. Keep it up. Moving on to our next topic goes to the WNBA. Atlanta Dream extend Taisha White and Dan Pauver through 27. So despite what happened with the Dream, they have extended their head coach and their general manager. M.A. Rapo of ESPN.com wrote this article. The Atlanta Dream have extended their contract of coach Tyshawn White and general manager Dan Favreau through the 2027 season. It was announced Tuesday. Terms of the extension, other than the length, were not disclosed, but they represent a lengthy commitment for White and Podover. The Dream went 14-22 last season and were in the WNBA playoff race until the last week of the season, while Ryan Howard, Atlanta's number one draft pick, was the WNBA Rookie of the Year. Coach Wright had a statement saying, quote, "There is an excitement to know that the ownership group believes in you that much. I'm excited to be here and build on the foundation that we started." It's going to be nice to see how they do. The Dream came under new management in February 2021 when the team was bought by an ownership group headed by real estate investor Larry Gottensider. Then coach Nikki Collin left for the Baylor Bears job in May 2021, just before the WNBA season started. Mike Peterson and then Darius Tyler coached Atlanta that season to an 8-24 record. Wright and Podover were both with the Las Vegas Raiders and were hired a few weeks apart by the Dream in October 2021. Podover, the GM, said, quote, "I think our ownership group brought both of us in with the idea of how do we turn this around. After a year, we made some good strides. What this commitment shows is there are supporting of us to look out for the long term of this franchise. With that, we are able to make smart decisions, be patient, not skip any steps. We want to set this franchise up for years and years to come." Close quotes. So, yeah, that was a hell of a pick, getting Ryan Howard from Kentucky. WNBA Rookie of the Year, she bought her butt off this season. I cannot deny that. What the Dream did was put the WNBA and people who watch the WNBA on notice that we're building, but we're coming at the same time. So looking forward to what they do and the draft coming up, and then what kind of team they'll put together, what free agency look like, and then the WNBA season. So that's that. Sticking with the WNBA, and I find one for a round of hardwood, we're going to talk about Brittany Griner, because Brittany Griner has stated she will return for the 2023 WNBA season with the Phoenix Mercury. This was already back December 16th. For those of you who are watching on YouTube, you can see it on the screen. And it says, Brittany Griner, in her first public statement since her nearly 300-day detainment in Russia, said Friday that she intends to play in the 2023 season in the WNBA for the Phoenix Mercury. It's promising news for the basketball world, although since Griner's release last week, most WNBA players, executives, and fans have tried to not fixate on what her return to the United States would mean for the Stars basketball future or whether she ever set foot on the court again. This is pretty much what it is. Seems like she's doing better. She's getting better each and every day going through the recovery process, and we're thankful for that. We are also thankful that she did return from being detained over in Russia for nearly 300 days, even though there's some more work that this government has to do, but we'll let them do that and do that when they can get that done. But for as basketball-wise, the Phoenix Mercury really missed the Brittany Griner. They missed that big presence on the inside. So get her back, it should help them be more competitive. Now, they did make the WNBA playoffs, but they had a tough matchup with the Seattle Storm, if I remember correctly, and it wasn't going to go well. But with Griner back, depending on where she's at around that time, the season starts mentally, physically, they should be all right. They should be ready to go and have a business as usual. Say. So that is around the hardware right there. And as we transition to our next segment, we finna run the fast break.
Controls it. James all the way in for the slam.
By Adams, his sixth. Morant blows by Primo. Attack.
Oh! All right, let's run the fast break to give you some quick recaps of what took place over the weekend in and around basketball. Let's start with the men's college basketball as number three, Houston, goes into Virginia and take down number two, the Virginia Cavaliers, 69-61. Big road win for the Houston Cougars coming off that loss to Alabama. At home, they go on the road and they deliver the same blow to the Virginia Cavaliers, giving them their first loss of the season. Houston moves to 11-1, and Virginia drops to 8-1 on the season. We'll see how that affects the polls when we get to look at those. CBS Sports Classic tipped off with number 23, Ohio State, taking on North Carolina. And a game that was pretty much controlled by Ohio State, North Carolina came roaring back, forced the game in overtime, and from there it was North Carolina all the way. 89-84, big win for Hubert Davis and the Tar Heels over with 23rd-ranked Ohio State. Continuing on, we had number 14, Indiana, on the road. They were in Lawrence, Kansas, to take on the reigning defending champions and number 8 in the country, the Kansas Jayhawks, in a game where Kansas dominated from start to finish. 84-62 over 14-ranked Hoosiers. Kansas moves to 10-1 on the season. Indiana drops to 8-3 on the season. Oh, and a rematch that took place last year when Alabama took down Gonzaga. They met again in the CM Newton Classic. 15-ranked Gonzaga takes down 4th-ranked Alabama, 100-90. Gonzaga Bulldogs move to 9-3, dropping Alabama to 9-2 on the season for the men's side of things. And as we continue on with the men's side, the other CBS Classic took place. We had 16-ranked UCLA taking on 13-ranked the Kentucky Wildcats. The Bruins win the battle of the Blue Bloods over the Wildcats, 63-53. John Calipari's team dropped down to 7-3, while the UCLA Bruins moved to 10-2 to continue on their hot streak that they are hot on. We had a top 10 showdown up in Tucson, Arizona, when the 9th-ranked Wildcats played host to the 6th-ranked Tennessee Volunteers. A very close and contested game. But it was number 9, the Wildcats at home, taking a 5-point win, 75-70. Wildcats moved to 10-1. Tennessee drops to 9-2. And the final recap we take from the men's basketball side, we saw 19-ranked Auburn take the trip all the way to sunny California to face off with the USC Trojans. And Bruce Pearl and the Titans felt the upset over at LA as the Trojans take down 19-ranked Auburn, 74-71. USC goes to 9-3. Auburn drops to 9-2. Big day, big day, big weekend for the City of Angels in college basketball as the Trojans and the Bruins got big wins over SEC teams. That was the men's side of it. Let's head over to the women's side. And on the women's side, we have 21st-ranked Arkansas on the road to 16th-ranked Creighton in a game where the Razorbacks take down the Blue Jays on the road, 83-75. The Lady Razorbacks move to 13-0, dropping the Blue Jays to 8-2. Sticking with the SEC road matchup, we had the Tennessee Volunteers on the road to take on second-ranked Stanford Cardinals. And a year that has been up and down for the Lady Vols has continued because they take a 77-70 loss to number 2, the Cardinals of Stanford. Stanford moves to 11-1. Tennessee drops to 7-6. In a battle of dominant teams so far this season, we had the UConn Huskies in the Hall of Fame Women's Showcase taking on Florida State. A surprising Florida State team walking in as 11-1. But Aaliyah Edwards was not playing, dropping a whopping 24 points to lead the 9th-ranked Huskies over to win Florida State 85-77 without their head coach Gino Urmia in attendance due to illness. He's doing much better. He's doing fine. They're saying those flu-like symptoms. But the UConn Huskies move to 8-2, and Florida State drops to 11-2. As we continue on with our run the fast break here, second part of our Women's Hall of Fame showcase. 14th-ranked Iowa State taking on 25th-ranked Villanova. This is before they had to cancel those games. Iowa State continued their stellar season thus far, taking down the Villanova Wildcats 62-74. The Lady Cyclones moved to 8-2. The Wildcats of Villanova dropped to 9-3. A top 20 showdown in a Pac-12 close-to-close challenge had The Arizona Wildcats ranked 20th in the country, taking on the Lady Bears of Baylor, who are ranked 18, and a dominant performance from the Wildcats of Arizona, taking down the Lady Bears 75-54. Arizona moves to 9-1. The Lady Bears drop to 8-3. And our final one for ladies basketball side, it was a top 10 showdown in Blacksburg, Virginia. The Virginia Tech Hokies ranked 6th in the country, hosting number 5, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. And the Virginia Tech Hokies suffered their first L of the season as Notre Dame controlled the game from start to finish, 63-52, giving Virginia Tech their first loss, dropping them to 10-1 as the Lady Fighting Irish moves to 9-1. Then we slide over to the NBA during over the weekend break. The Orlando Magic pulled off the double sweep of the Boston Celtics, sweeping both games in Boston, with the second one being on your screen, 95-92. Big loss for the Celtics, big win for the Magic. If y'all recall, I did my opening heat check on yesterday on my Orlando Magic proud moment. But continue on with our fast break. Golden State was in Canada to take on Toronto Raptors without Steph Curry. Jordan Poole with a whopping 43 points, a career high for him, as he led the Golden State Warriors to a 126-110 victory over the Toronto Raptors. The New York Knicks, who I'll be getting to a little later in this program, took a 3-point win on the road over Indiana, 109-106, as they are keeping to rolling. And continue on to finish it up our fast break of a recap of basketball. Donovan Mitchell faced off against his former team, the Utah Jazz, up in Cleveland, and it was not a contest whatsoever. 122-99, the Cleveland Cavaliers dominate the Utah Jazz. And then the following night for the Toronto Raptors, they're from losing to Golden State over the weekend to Monday night when they hit the Philly. A thrilling game to watch, 104-101. The Philadelphia 76ers take down the Toronto Raptors in overtime. In the game, it was Anthony Edwards versus Luka Doncic. Luka was ejected in the second half of this game as Anthony Edwards and the Timberwolves take over from there, 116-110. A big win for the Timberwolves over the Dallas Mavericks. And the game of the night yesterday featured Zion Williamson and the New Orleans Pelicans hosting Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks. In a game where Giannis Valanciunas led the way for the New Orleans Pelicans, dropping 37 points, but it was Giannis Antetokounmpo with a 40-point double-double to lead the Milwaukee Bucks 128-119 win on the road in New Orleans. That was the fast break portion of the show, but before we head to our first commercial break of the day, here are our top 10, our top 25 polls from the AP. This is our women's poll, our top 10. So South Carolina 11-0, still at number one. Still at number two is the Stanford Cardinals at 11-1. At number three, the Ohio State Buckeyes at 11-0. Indiana right behind them at 11-0 at number four. Number five, the Notre Dame Fire Irish. Number six, the UNC Lady Tar Heels. The Lady Wolfpack come in at number seven for NC State. Number eight is the Virginia Tech Hokies. Number nine, the UConn Huskies. And rounding out the top 10 is the Lady Tigers of LSU. As you can see here, here's the rest of your top 25. USC, Utah, Iowa State, Maryland, Oregon, Arkansas, Arizona, Michigan, Kansas, Creighton, Gonzaga, Oklahoma, Baylor, and St. John's. As you recall, we just did our around the hardwood segment. The lady Red Storms finally cracked the top 25 since 2015. There you go, ranked at 25th right here. That is the ladies' AP top 25. Here is the men's top 25. Purdue remaining at number one at 11-0. The UConn Huskies coming in at with a 12-0 record coming in the second. Houston at number three with that big win that they took over Virginia. The reigning defending champion Kansas Jayhawks coming in at four. Arizona Wildcats at five. The Virginia Cavaliers, after suffering that loss to Houston, dropped to six. Texas at seven. Tennessee is at eight. Alabama at nine. And Arkansas is at 10. As you can see here, that is three consecutive SEC teams ranked in the top 10. Okay. So that's pretty interesting to see right there. But the rest of the top 25, Gonzaga 11, Baylor 12, UCLA 13, Duke 14, Mississippi State 15, Illinois 16, Wisconsin 17, Indiana 18, Kentucky 19, TCU 20, Virginia Tech 21, Miami 22, Auburn 23, Marquette 24, getting into the rankings for the first time this season, and rounding out the top 25 in a surprising fashion at 11-1, it is the Arizona State Sun Devils. Shout out to them and whatnot. Ladies and gentlemen, that is that. We're going to take our first commercial break here, and when we come back, one of the teams in the borough is getting a heat check, because both of them getting a heat check today. It's the first one of the heat check. I think we're going to Brooklyn. We'll be back. The Playmakers Bar is proudly to announce that it's lettered a partnership deal with Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus. Stream live sports from any device that you have, whether it is your computer, laptop, or even your cellular device. Catch breaking news live when it happens, and enjoy a mountain of entertainment from movies to shows to whatever you love doing. Paramount Plus. Plan starts at $4.99 a month, but right now you can get a free trial. Just hit that link below with the Playmakers blog and start your free trial right now. Paramount Plus, mountains of entertainment. And welcome back to Shooting Lights Out with the Playmaker here as we get ready for this Christmas week edition of this. And as you can see, we're going heat check. And our heat check takes us to Brooklyn, Brooklyn, Brooklyn. Yeah, surprisingly, the Brooklyn Nets are getting a heat check today because those dudes are on a six-game winning streak as of right now. Ladies and gentlemen, the Brooklyn Nets are 19-12 on the year. Fourth in the East, as you can see on your screen, for those of you who are watching on YouTube, for those of you who are listening to the audio, we appreciate it. The Brooklyn Nets are 17th in points per game, 9th in opponents' points per game, 28th in rebounding, and 11th in assists. For those of you who are listening to the audio, I'm going to give you the numbers. Points per game, the Nets are averaging 113.1 points per game. Opponents' points per game, they are giving up 11.4 points per game. That is a plus 2 in my book for the Brooklyn Nets. Rebounding wise, they are rebounding average is 40.5 per game. Assists, they are averaging 26 assists a game for the Brooklyn Nets. And it's amazing. They are currently on a six-game winning streak. But as you can see here, those of you who are looking at YouTube, we have here, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15. In these 16 games in a month span from November 17th all the way down to December 18th. From November 17th when they went to Portland all the way down to December 18th when they played at Detroit. That is 16 games. They are 13-3. And within those games, they beat Portland on the road. They came home and beat Memphis. They went to Toronto and beat the Raptors. They came home and beat Portland, okay? They beat Toronto at home. They beat Boston at home. They beat Atlanta at home. They went to Indiana and beat the Indiana Pacers. They went back to Toronto and beat Toronto. At least 9 of them games, to me, are impressive wins out of the 13 that they have. Okay? This is quite remarkable, speaking of what took place with them. So that tells you, when they are not involving themselves in drama and whatnot, this team can actually play some ball because we are know who they are led by. In this fashion, okay? And in this fashion, as you see, in their last 10 games, they are 9-1 in their last 10 games, okay? With the only loss coming to the Boston Celtics at home on December 4th. That's their last loss. They won their last six in a row, but we'll get to that in a minute. But we all know who they are led by. They are led by one Kevin Durant. And this season so far, Kevin Durant is averaging 30.4 points per game, giving you 6.6 rebounds a game, along with 5.3 assists per game. But he's not alone, because now that he's not chirping on Twitter like he used to, Kyrie Irving is on the court. And when Kyrie Irving's on the court this year, he's giving you 26 points per game with 4.8 assists, with 4.8 rebounds and 4.5 assists a game. They have been quiet. They've been on their best behavior. They are winning games. That's why they are fourth in East right now. And within their last six games, they have won six in a row. Charlotte, Atlanta, at Indiana, at Washington, at Toronto, and at Detroit. And within the last six games, Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving have played five of those games. They did not play the game at Indiana, but they still won that game, by the way. Now, as you can see, those of you who are watching on YouTube, in the last five games, Kevin Durant has been scoring 32.8 points per game, shooting 62.2% from the field, 46.2 from three-point range, grabbing 6.2 rebounds, and dishing out 4.8 assists. Okay? Well, let's look at Kyrie Irving in the same five games that he played, because he didn't play against Indiana as well. He's giving you 32 points a game, shooting 54.2 from the field, 37.8 from three, grabbing 6.2 rebounds, and dishing out 5 assists a game. So both Kevin Durant and Kyrie Irving both are doing their thing. They both putting the ball in the bucket. They both are rebounding, and they both dishing out assists as well. So they are combining right now, if I'm looking at this correctly. So technically, you can sit here and say they both give me 32 points a game, shooting around 55-60% from the field, a good 40% from three, giving you 6.2 rebounds a game and 5 assists a game combined on average. So you're getting 10 assists a game with both of them. So with both Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant combined in the last five games, you're getting 64 points a game, around 58% shooting, 40% from three, 12 rebounds a game, and 10 assists a game. When they play ball, you see the results. 13-3 in their last 16 games, 9-1 in their last 10, and they won their last 6. Now, the question is, can they keep it going? That is the question, because next, tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, they have the Golden State Warriors without Steph Curry. Now, we should see if there's a Klay Thompson, if there's a Draymond Green, maybe Jordan Poole plays. We shall see. Depends on how Steve Chris feels. But the Golden State Warriors plays a visit to the Barclays Center to take on the Brooklyn Nets at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time tomorrow on NBA TV. Okay, then on Friday, ladies and gentlemen, the Milwaukee Bucks come walking in, the team with the best record in the league right now, because Boston has been on a losing streak. That game is at 7:30 Eastern Standard Time on NBA TV. So you have a game against the reigning defending champions without the finals MVP and Steph Curry tomorrow. And then 2 days after that, on Friday, you play the best team in the NBA right now in the Milwaukee Bucks. And then the day after Christmas, ladies and gentlemen, the day after Christmas, we're looking at Monday here, next Monday, you go to the Cleveland Cavaliers on NBA TV at 7 p.m. That's not an easy game either, because Cleveland's on the tear as well with Donovan Mitchell and Darius Garland and Jonathan Allen. So we should see how that goes. Then you go to the Atlanta Hawks on the 28th, and then New Year's Eve, you're at the Charlotte Hornets to bring in the new year. So within your next 1, 2, 3, 5 games, let's see what your streak is at then. Can you get to 11-0? You might lose a game or two in there. I can see you losing at least two. I can see you losing by the game or two. Probably Milwaukee and Cleveland. I think you'll get to seven. You should be able to get past Golden State without Steph Curry. And you don't know what the deal is with Klay Thompson and Draymond Green. So I'll give you that. But you might lose to Milwaukee and Cleveland. But I can see you beating Atlanta and Charlotte. So you should be doing good. So what you have 19. So I'm giving you 3-2 for your next one. So that'll put you at what? 22-14. That's a very good record going into the new year, despite how y'all started. So I must admit, the Brooklyn Nets, they are playing some good ball. That's why they're getting the heat check. They playing good ball. They are on fire right now. Can they keep it going? We shall see. We'll break, and we'll be back, because we got a friggin' fire to give out. All right, ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Shooting Lights Out as y'all can saw. That is all the show that you can follow from the Playmakers Pod Network, as including the Shooting Lights Out that is here right now. Arch Rivals Football is also another show that we do that's under the Playmakers Pod, also with the Pain Train Pipe Bomb Productions, as well as Bearing Down the Gridiron. And you have Randy Talk that I host. You also have the stuff my man Alex Akazai does. Cowboys Talk, Race Quit, Ringside Chaos, Ranking Around the Diamond, Internet LC. So there's a lot of content under the Playmakers Bar that no matter what sport you love, we got you covered. Now, for those of you who are sitting here and you're looking at it, you see a Florida State logo on there. And you ask yourself, why do you see a Florida State logo on there? Because my flagrant foul today comes to you by the way of the Florida State Seminoles, you know. Now, why is it that we are doing Florida State Seminoles here, you know? Because we're going to get into it in a minute, and I want you to know that, hey, I pay attention. Now, the funny thing is, the football team has done well. They have done great. They are ranked in the college football playoff ranking. The ladies basketball team, they are off to 11-2 start. Somehow, the men, who was the dominant ones for the past years, since Leonard Hamilton has taken over the program. This, however, is what has been going on with the Florida State Seminoles. As you can see here, they are 3-10 on the season, ranked 9th in the ACC, with their next game coming up tomorrow at 8:30 against Notre Dame. We'll get to that in a minute. But 3-10. Is Leonard Hamilton in a Florida State Seminole men's basketball team. Now, as a Gator fan that I am, I should be thrilled. I should be happy, and I am, to be honest. But yet, I have a job to do. So I have to call out the teams that need to be called out. The only two teams in the Power Five that's really worse than you guys is the Louisville Cardinals, who you beat, by the way. And I will show you, and I will be showing the people when you beat them. And the team that hasn't won a goddamn game yet in the California Golden Bears, who I did a flagrant foul on last Monday. Okay? But this is the Florida State Seminoles we're talking about here. You open the season on November 7th against Stinson, and they walked into Tallahassee and beat you 83-74. Wow. Yeah, that's probably one of the stunners that I went out of my opening show, what I did Shooting Lights Out for college basketball. And then you take the trip to UCF and you get beat 68-54. Okay. You come back home and you face Troy. And Troy beats you 79-72. You're 0-3 out the gate and you lost to mid-major teams already. And then you add UCF in the middle. Then you have the Sunshine Showdown with the Florida State Gators, with my Florida Gators in Tallahassee. And you had a 17-point lead, and you saw the Gators come back and beat you 76-67. You had a 17-point lead, and you lost by 9. That is a 26-point turnaround from my Gators to do that in Tallahassee. Prior to the week before, we faced off in football, and y'all snuck out of that one. You get your first win November 21st against Mercer when you win 81-72. After that, you go to Siena for Thanksgiving and you get blasted 80-63. Who is Siena? I have never heard of Siena. I don't even know where Siena is located, to be honest. Matter of fact, I'm going to look it up right now. Siena. I just want to know what it is because I'm confused right now. The Siena Saints is what they are called. They are a Metro Atlantic Athletic Conference team. The MAAC Conference. That's another mid-major team that beat Florida State. They are located in Lauderville, New York. So that is Stinson, Troy, Siena. That is three mid-major teams that beat you. Then you took your butt over to Stanford, who was not having a good season whatsoever. You can look at the Pac-12 and you can tell. But they beat you by 10, 70-60. That's the month of November. So let me go back. So in the month of November, we ain't even done yet. So right now, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. You're 1-6 already. And then we gonna keep it going. You go to Nebraska, and Nebraska beat you on November 27th, 75-58. You didn't even have a chance in hell. And then in the final ACC Big Ten challenge that will be taking place, as those of you who've been watching, you know I covered that one in the previous episode. Number 5, Purdue comes in, and they dominate you 79-69. You're 1-8. And then you kicked off SEC play with number 3 Virginia at the time. At Virginia, we knew that was a loss. But you played up. You showed up and played. You lost by 5, 62-57. But you won in 9. Of course, you played Louisville, who is the sorriest team in the ACC there is. That's the second sorriest team in college basketball right now when it comes to major teams. You beat them and you blew them out 75-53. That's your second win. And that was at home. You stayed home and you get to play South Carolina upstate and you beat them 80-63. So you're 3-9. And then just a few days ago on December 17th, you played St. John's, Red Storm, not the ladies, but the men. And they beat you 93-79, which puts you at the record of 10-3. Leonard Hamilton has been coaching the Florida State men's basketball team for 20 years. This is the worst start I have ever seen Leonard Hampton have at Florida State. And I've been looking forward to Florida State having a lot of bad seasons. Not under Leonard Hamilton. But this is what we get right here, right now. You're 3-10. Okay? And since you're 3-10, this is what it looks like. You're averaging 68.4 points per game, but you're giving up 73.3 points per game. That is 5-point difference. You're shooting 42.1% from the field, but the opponents are shooting 42.7% from the field. That tells me they're getting up more shots than you are, and they're making more shots than you. You're shooting 34.8% from 3. The opponents are shooting 32.9% from the field. These numbers are not really big difference, but yet you're 3-10. Wow, the opponents are shooting, what, 0.6 better than you? 3-point range. You're shooting better. You're shooting 1.9% better from 3-point range than the opponents. But you're 3-10. You're 3-10. Somebody explain this to me. Free throw shooting. Wow, 72.4-72.5. Somebody explain this to me. And Dorian Green Jr., leading the charge for the Florida State Seminoles, is averaging 14 points a game, 2 assists a game, and 3.2 rebounds a game. Then another person, Matthew Cleveland, 13 points per game with 1 assist, 6 rebounds a game. And then you have Caleb Mills, 12 points a game, giving you 3 assists a game and 2 rebounds a game. These are not terrible numbers. If you go look at my last flagrant foul on the California Golden Bears, there's a reason why they haven't won a game. They are winless, and you see the numbers. The numbers back it up. The numbers that you just saw from Florida State. Let's go back to it. These numbers here are not different. How are you 3-10? This is what I'm trying to figure out. What makes you 3-10? The opponents barely shoot better than you, if not equal. They barely shoot better. Y'all equal in free throws, and you outshoot them in 3-point range. But how is you 3-10? I don't understand. Maybe these next few games y'all can get it together. Because then again, maybe not. Because you're looking at it, this is a tough matchup. Tomorrow you play, as we saw earlier, you got Florida State. You got Notre Dame coming in. That's at 8:30 on the ACC network. After that, you got a whole 10 days off because you play on New Year's Eve. And on New Year's Eve, you're going to Cameron indoors against the 14-ranked Blue Devils. I might as well put you at 3-11 right now, because I don't see y'all going into Duke and beating Duke. I don't see it. You might be Notre Dame. Notre Dame's been up and down too. But Duke, you ain't beating Duke. Then the surprising start to kick your first game of the New Year's on the 7th. So you literally have 8 days off
before you play a year next game. And that's at home against Georgia Tech. And Georgia Tech has been playing pretty good basketball lately, so I don't know. Then on the 11, you're at Wake Forest. That's a tough one. Before you see Virginia again, this time at home, which I got a feeling you might lose that one again. Before you go to South Bend and meet Notre Dame for the second time, and you might lose that one. You might win the one at home, but you're going to lose at South Bend. Then you go to Pittsburgh on the 21st. Then you got a showdown with Miami, who's ranked 22nd, and they are not playing no ball right now. They are. Miami's for real. That's a hell. Clemson comes in. Clemson has been playing some ball. That might be a hell. I at least see what how many games we're talking. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. In the next 9 games, I already see at least 3 losses. No, take that back. 1, 2, 3, 4. That's 5. I already see 5 losses at Duke, Virginia again, at Notre Dame, against Miami, and against Clemson. That's 5 losses right there. So if I'm already counting 5 losses, that's put you at 15 losses already and giving you 4 wins. That's 7-15 on the season. If my prediction comes out the way I'm looking at it right now, you split with Notre Dame, you lose to Duke, you probably get past Georgia Tech. Oh, no, you lose the Wake Forest. I'm thinking you lose. No, I'll take that back. You're going to lose that Wake Forest. I'll make that 6. So you're 6-8. You're 6-16. You're 10 games on the 500 if this comes out the way I think it is. I don't know what's going on, but Leonard Hamilton, I'm just going to say, I'm gonna need you to get it together. I'm gonna need you to find a way to get this right. Even though I should enjoy this as a Gator fan, I have never seen an ever 2 Florida State team under Leonard Hamilton this bad. And the funny thing is, the numbers don't even show how bad. The numbers don't even show yet y'all this bad. I don't know what it is. Somebody in Tyler has to tell me why the Florida State Seminoles are 3-10, and the numbers are not that dispersing apart between how Florida State plays on offense and how opponents do against them. They should not be 3-10, but they're 3-10. I don't know. But Florida State, you're getting the flavor foul, okay? That's all. I'm astonished by this, but you're getting the flavor foul. So with that being said, take a break. We're going to get to our next heat check and some games to watch to close out the show. We'll be back. The Playmakers Blog is proudly to announce that it is sponsored by Fanatics. Fanatics, where you can get all your official licensed sports gear, memorabilia, whether it's for the National Football League, the National Basketball Association, Major League Baseball, National Hockey League, or even International Soccer League, or even college sports. So rep your team. Rep the hardware. Get comfortable. Because Fanatics is the way to go. Where sports fans shop and official. Welcome back to Shooting Lights Out, and as you see on the screen, you have your second heat check, and we're sticking in the state of New York. Like I said, the borough is on tap for heat check, because now we're going to talk New York Knicks. The New York Knicks. Ladies and gentlemen, the Knicks have been balling lately, just as the Nets are. The New York Knicks are currently 6 in the East, but they're 17-13 record, ladies and gentlemen. They are on their current 7-game winning streak. They have won 8 of their last 10 games. Actually, those of you who are watching on YouTube, the numbers are right in front of you. 14th in points per game at 114.1. 13th in points per game at 112.2. That is a +2 for the Knicks. 3rd in rebounding, ladies and gentlemen, at 47.6 rebounds a game, and 24th in assists with 23 assists a game. Like I said, in their last 10 games, they are 8-2. You're talking wins over the Cleveland Cavaliers, the Atlanta Hawks, the Sacramento Kings, the Indiana Pacers, and at Chicago Bulls twice. The only losses come to the Milwaukee Bucks and the Dallas Mavericks. They have won 7 in a row, but we'll get to that in a minute. As you can see here, Julius Randle is leading the charge for the New York Knicks, 22.5 points per game, 9 rebounds a game, 3.6 assists per game. His running mate who's been with them is R.J. Barrett. R.J. Barrett is scoring 19.4 points per game, 5.5 rebounds a game, and 2.8 assists per game. And then they had a big signing, offseason signing, and one, Jalen Brunson from the Dallas Mavericks. Jalen Brunson is scoring 20.8 points per game, giving you 3.2 rebounds a game, along with 6
0.2 assists per game. That's what they'd be doing. But in their last seven games, all W, starting with the Cleveland Cavaliers back on December 4th, and with a 92-81 win, then December 7th against the Atlanta Hawks, 113-1. The 89, then it wins over the Charlotte Hornets on the road. The Sacramento Kings at home, 112-99, and back-to-back wins at the Chicago Bulls. The first one being 128-120, the second one being 114-91. And then that last game that they played, they won at Indiana 109-106. Knicks are playing good ball. The state of New York is playing good ball. New York City should be feeling good about the Brooklyn Nets and the New York Knicks. But in the last seven games, Julius Randle has been playing tremendous ball, as I say. 26.7 points per game. He's been scoring the last seven games, shooting 42.7% from the field, shooting 33.3 from three, grabbing 11.4 rebounds and 4 assists a game. That is some good numbers. He's still shooting. I don't want him to shoot a lot of threes, but he's been shooting threes. For Julius Randle, he had, in the last seven games, he has shot 63 threes. That is too much for my liking, per se, because when you're the big man, you need to do some work on the inside. Maybe in the mid-range game, probably take one or two three-pointers game. But nevertheless, he can shoot him and he can hit him. Okay. But Julius Randle has been doing his thing in the last seven games. I can't knock him for that. RJ Barrett, who's been with him. In his last seven games, RJ Barrett is scoring 22.3 points per game. He's shooting 44.6 from the field, 35.9 from three, grabbing 6.4 rebounds and dishing out 2.4 assists. That's good coming from the shooting guard position. He is not the point guard. He is the shooting guard, so he's required to take shots. He's hit them at a good rate at 44.6% from the field. We want to get that 35.9 from three-point up to about close to 40 if we can get that. Giving you 6 rebounds, which is good. Giving out 2 assists. Let's see if we can get the assists up to about 4 for a shooting guard. But nevertheless, RJ Barrett is doing his thing as well. But the big signing of Jalen Brunson, that is a difference right there. Jalen Brunson. This is what Jalen Brunson did in the 7-game winning streak, ladies and gentlemen. He is scoring 20.3 points per game. He is shooting 42.8 from the field, a whopping 50% from the 3-point range, and dishing out 5.7 assists. As the point guard of the team, he is putting the ball in the bucket, and he's making some good passes, putting teammates in good position to make their shots. And plus, he's shooting the ball very well. 42.8, basically 43% from the field, and he's shooting, and he's hitting half of his three-pointers in this 7-game winning streak. Half of them. These three guys are Jalen Brunson, Julius Randle, and RJ Barrett have the Knicks winning 7 straight. They can keep rolling. Can they keep it going? We shall see, but I cannot be disappointed with what the Knicks are doing. And a good shout-out to my good buddy, Wise at Healthy, who is a Knicks fan, Ken Moore, who is a Knicks fan. There's a few of the Knicks fans that I know. Your team is playing excellent basketball. They're on a 7-game winning streak. They are 6 in the East of the Brooklyn Knicks, because I know you guys love New York. Yeah, your Knicks, you like Stephen A. Smith, your Knicks first, New York second. The Brooklyn Nets, they're doing their thing. They won their last 6. They've been doing their thing as well. They are 9-1 in their last 10. Kyrie Irving is not with the drama. Kevin Durant is playing ball. Kyrie's playing ball. Randle's playing ball. Brunson's playing ball. Barrett's playing ball. The city of New York, stand up, what Stephen A. would say. Stand up, because both the Nets and the Knicks are playing some basketball. But as I did with the Brooklyn Nets, can the New York Knicks keep it going? Because tonight on TNT, ladies and gentlemen, the beginning of our TNT doubleheader, as the Golden State Warriors walking into Madison Square Garden. No Stephen Curry, so there will be no three-point barrages from Steph Curry to add to that record that he broke last time he was in Madison Square Garden last season. But there is a Jordan Poole coming. And the last time we saw Jordan Poole, he dropped 43 points on the Toronto Raptors. And speaking of the Raptors, that's who you have next on the back-to-back tomorrow. As the Toronto Raptors play a visit to Madison Square Garden. Before the Bulls pay you a visit on the 23rd, then the Philadelphia 76ers come to Madison Square Garden to kick off Christmas Day. And I'll get to that as we close out the show.
before you head to the Dallas Mavericks on the 27th, then the San Antonio Spurs on the 29th, and then on New Year's Eve, you're at Houston. So you have four straight home games from today to the 20 to Christmas Day, and then before the New Year's, you have a Texas road trip starting with Dallas, San Antonio, and then Houston. So, New York Knicks, can you keep it going? Brooklyn Nets, can you keep it going? The borough, the Mecca, the state of New York, the city of New York City, the Big Apple. They were in heat checks because both teams are rocking and rolling. Good job. And all right, to close out the show very quickly, give you some games to watch to get you through the Christmas week. Starting tonight for college basketball, the men's, the ladies' side. We're nothing going on with the men. The ladies' side, today at 4 p.m., you have the Arkansas Razorbacks 17 in the country, 13-0, in the San Diego Invitational, taking on 16-ranked Oregon in the SEC Pac-12 Showdown. Also, following that, 6:30 in the same building, the number 3 Ohio State Buckeyes taking on the South Florida Lady Bears. That's going to be a doozy right there. Because the teams in, I got to admit, the ladies in Florida, with Florida State, Florida, Central Florida, South Florida, Florida Gulf Coast, these girls can ball. And Ohio State, South Florida, that could be a very interesting game for on the ladies' side. You might want to catch that one. Then you have the Jumpman Invitational on ESPN2 at 7 p.m. tonight when 19th-ranked Michigan Wolverines take on 6th-ranked North Carolina Tar Heels. It is blue blood programs on the ladies' side going at each other when the Wolverines and Tar Heels go at it. And then at 10 p.m., we have the Creighton Blue Jays trying to bounce back from that loss, but it's going to be a tough one as they are in California to take on the 2nd-ranked Stanford Cardinals. Can the Blue Jays get back on track, or will Stanford do what they do best and just dominate as they always do? All right. That's today for the ladies. Tomorrow for the ladies, you have the UConn Huskies, ranked 9th in the country. They are inside Big East play when Seton Hall comes rolling into Connecticut. That's at 12 p.m. tomorrow. At 7 p.m. tomorrow is Kansas, 10-0, putting that on the road in Lincoln, Nebraska, and they take on the Nebraska Cornhuskers at 9-3. And then at 9:30, the Jumpman Invitational concludes with my Lady Gators. The Gators, my Lady Gators, they are taking on the 23rd-ranked Sooners of Oklahoma. Okay? And then we get to the NBA slate, as you guys previously said earlier. New York Knicks, Golden State Warriors tipping off our TNT doubleheader tonight. The second of our doubleheader takes us to Denver, Colorado, when the Denver Nuggets host the Memphis Grizzlies. John Morant taking on Nikola Jokic. Tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, 7 p.m., we have Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks coming off that thrilling win over the New Orleans Pelicans. Now they take their times up to Cleveland, Ohio, to face off with Donovan Mitchell, Dennis Gallen, and the Cleveland Cavaliers in a big battle in the East right there. On NBA TV, 7:30, from Madison Square Garden to the Barclays Center, the Golden State Warriors take the trip on a back-to-back from Madison Square Garden to Barclays Center to face off with Kevin Durant, Kyrie Irving, and the Brooklyn Nets, 7:30. NBA TV, also at 7:30. It is going back to Madison Square Garden because the Toronto Raptors pay a visit to the New York Knicks. And then Christmas Day. Can't forget about Christmas Day, ladies and gentlemen. Christmas Day, 5 games on the docket starting with Madison Square Garden when the 76ers take on the New York Knicks at 12 p.m. on ESPN. Thinking next 3 games, as you see those who are watching on YouTube, from ABC to ESPN, 2:30, our second game, it is LeBron James, if he's playing, taking on Luka Doncic and the Dallas Mavericks. It's Lakers Mavericks at 2:30 at 5 p.m. Sunday, December 25th, Christmas Day. It is the game of the day. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Milwaukee Bucks, they are at TD Garden to take on Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, and the Boston Celtics, 5 p.m. ABC ESPN as well. And then at 8 o'clock, ABC ESPN as well. Will Steph Curry be healthy enough to return? Because it is Ja Morant and the Memphis Grizzlies head over to the Bay Area to take on the reigning defending champion Golden State Warriors. 8 p.m. ABC ESPN. And then our nightcap will take you down to ESPN. It's in Denver, Colorado, when the reigning two-time MVP Nikola Jokic play host to Chris Paul and the Phoenix Suns. So those are the games for you to watch, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for tuning in today's episode of Shooting Lights Out. Have a merry, merry, merry Christmas. I'll catch y'all later.
Good. You've done great. But you can't stop here. You can't stop now. You gotta keep going. Through all your trials and your tribulations, you gotta keep pushing. Now, finish your campaign.
Yeah, gotta get it out the mud, that's the only way to win. Who am I to point the finger like I never ever sinned? Been through the ups and downs like the letter N. They don't let you through the door, better kick that again. Cause that's the only way to win. That's the only way to go. Gotta get it out the mud. Gotta get it out the flow. Cause that's the only way to go. Let's go.
Thank you for tuning in today's episode. If you want to follow the podcast, you can follow it on all streaming platforms, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and a whole lot more. This has been Shooting Lights Out.